Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. It is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I have Dr. Alice Benton with me.
Hello, ladies and gents.
Yeah, good to have you. And Becky Brown from our Indianapolis studio.
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to see you guys. Okay, so here's the deal. We oftentimes think of the word recovery for people that have severe addictions, right? You know, and like those other people.
Those people.
Yeah, recovery is for those people. And by the way, I'm those people. So,
me too.
Yep, card-carrying member for a long time.
I wasn't those people, or so I thought. I was
there
a finger pointer, even as a therapist. Therapist is for those people that have big problems. I'm doing fine in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, Alice, what was your transition? What was your conversion?
Gosh, it was starting to listen to New Life on the radio and starting to buy into the idea that I am broken and that although my sins may not be obvious addiction sins, they are there. I started to realize that I was struggling with so much anxiety, I couldn't take a full breath because my muscles were that tight. And then as I was looking into my family history and all of our problems and our losses and the sins of my family, I got a whole lot of baggage, folks, and I can be very difficult to be around sometimes. And it was those realizations that finally convinced me I needed recovery too.
Yeah.
So you know what I always think of when people think that recovery is not for them, it's for those others, people, is that whole concept of control. So, Alice, what you just described is that's an element of control, right? Where, you know, you feel that tension and you're feeling the anxiety. And basically, it's because everything feels out of control and you want to control everything. Mm-hmm. If you don't think you need recovery, I want you just to just reflect on the fact that you try to control a lot of things or you give up control in harmful relationships where there's no boundaries. And it's so I think if you think of recovery, it's literally about recovering the life that God intended for you to have.
Yes.
The life that God died for you to have, which is a life of freedom, a life of choice, and a life of peace. And I think that is the true message of recovery.
Yes. And what makes us blind, Alice, you and I were talking about this earlier, is that trauma and addiction come with really strong defense mechanisms, and the number one defense is denial, you know, because we don't want to address our problems and we don't want to address our pain. And it makes sense that we don't, so there's a lot of compassion for it, but our denial keeps us stuck. Then we'll go into other varying forms of that, like minimizing. You know, it's not that big of a deal. I can still function. I still have this, and, you know, or we project. Well, what about so-and-so's problem over there? Or the comparison thing,
right?
You know, which is a form of rationalization. Well, my problems aren't as big of a deal as so-and-so's problem. But at the end of the day, there's one person on planet Earth that God ultimately gave us responsibility for, and that is ourselves. And that's why we're here. We're here to help you get you back. We're here to help you discover God's image in you to come to life. Life recovery today is another way to do that. If you don't think you're a candidate for life recovery today because you don't have a big addiction issue, try it out. Just watch it a few different times, and I guarantee you, you're going to find something that is going to apply to you, that is going to help you transform from a place of darkness into a place of light. So we are going to jump into your calls. We're going to guide you along that path, and we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're going to jump right into the calls. We're going to go to Charles in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so, Charles, are you there? Charles, can you hear me? Charles, are you there? We're going to come back to Charles hopefully later, but instead let's go to Shelley in Seattle, Washington, listening on our YouTube channel. So, Shelley, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Shelley. How are you doing today?
Hi. I'm good. Thanks, everybody. And I know that the Everyman Battle people that do those workshops aren't there today, if I understand correctly, but I do have a comment / question.
Okay.
Regarding, the content of the book. So I was listening to a podcast on betrayal trauma.
Uh-huh.
And it's hosted by a young woman who's not a counselor, but has she's just started a podcast 6 years in. And it was just very disheartening, as she had a guest that's an author on the topic that was really kind of ripping that book apart,
uh-huh.
mainly focused on how it's not validating that this behavior is abuse to women.
Oh, okay.
And that is the main thing. Yeah, and I know that that's not what, like Sherry, you know, that's not true. It's all validated, but it was not regarding the workshop, but it was the book.
Yeah.
And pulled out many, many things, picked it apart as opposed to the whole book,
mm-hmm.
picked things apart. So anyway, and then it was just very disheartening that many, many women listening to this, it sounded hopeless. And
Wow.
You know what I was thinking, Shelley? You know, Chris has actually worked at Everyman's Battle.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I know that's part of your practice and even part of your own story and your recovery as well.
Yeah.
And my first thought is, Shelley, I'm sorry that you had to be, you know, subject to that. I think sometimes in our pain, people will look for ways to, you know, address something that's not really there. You know, the book's been out, I guess we're in our 20-something year,
mm-hmm.
and we've helped thousands of men overcome sexual addiction and live a life of sexual integrity. And even in our Restore workshop, we speak to the women about good boundaries and doing whatever they need to feel safe. And we talk about those kind of things. And so if there was ever any evidence of abuse anywhere, we would never condone anything like that. We don't, you know, that would just not be part of it. So I don't know if that is helpful, but I'm sorry that you had to hear all of that, but it's not based in truth.
Right. And I don't believe it. And I know, I mean, I'm 7 years in, and I've read Every Man's Battle, and I've read Sherry's book. I haven't done a conference yet, or a workshop yet, but I know that it is abuse, and so I was, but it's the woman's own road to recovery, as well as the man,
mm-hmm.
and, but it just really bothered me, and just wanted to set the record straight.
Well, thanks, Shelley.
Well, the truth of the matter is that any time that we're going to make a creative difference in the world, that we put ourselves out there, our information out there, and especially in today's world where everyone has access to everyone else's information, we also open ourselves up to criticism. Some of it may be very legitimate. Some of it may be illegitimate. And so I guess what's disheartening about this is that there is a lot of anxiety in our culture that wants to pick apart everyone else's stuff. And so we're in it right now, we're in a teardown culture and not a build-up culture. But what I like to tell myself about the kind of a message I give myself, whether it be my stuff that feels and being misunderstood and misrepresented, it is really painful. It is, like, at least for me, I hate it. I hate being misrepresented. I hate being misunderstood, especially in something horrific or negative. But at the end of the day, as we are putting stuff out there, I want us to ask ourselves the question, does it work for you? And if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, okay, I hope you find something that works for you. I understand that people may think some stuff that we put out is maybe even dangerous or destructive. But if you don't agree with it, it's fine. Just don't agree with it. But the heart of the matter is what I can defend here, it's not really a defense, it's just a proclamation of things that I get to be a part of. And that is, the heart of it is always driven towards love and redemption. And so, but in that, in the information that we're exposed to out there, it requires that we use discernment and including boundaries.
And I want to validate that words are not sufficient to describe the trauma women go through when their men engage in sexual addiction or sexual immorality. Words are not sufficient. And I've heard from many a man who said, I use porn to safeguard my marriage from full-blown infidelity, from actual sex with another person outside of marriage. So porn was protective of my marriage. And that's a belief that's held. And so it is difficult for people to understand, even for the women who are victims, it's difficult to understand how destructive sexual immorality truly is. It is death over the long term, death to a marriage and to the family. And words aren't sufficient to describe that.
Yeah. And we're carrying a lot of pain and we need to care for each other really, really well in our pain and understand that, you know, again, we want to make sure that people find the things that help them truly, like we open the show, truly recover. And that is why being a part of New Life is such a fun, exciting, and honoring thing, because we don't have just every man's battle. We have restored. And we don't just have restored. We have every man's battle. We have the Emotional Freedom Workshop. We have intimacy in marriage. We really understand that these issues are incredibly complex, and we're coming at them with the complexity and the programs to really help people. So, Shelley, I really thank you for your support in all of this, but also understanding that... go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, when I listened, what came out of it, which was a word that the Lord... It was a really long road of releasing justice, and it's such a deep, deep cry for a betrayed woman as... just justice on every level.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, for the Lord, the first word the Lord gave me was no more abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't pinpoint, such in the storm what that even meant. But anyway, so didn't want to interrupt you, but go ahead.
No, that's
justice
good.
That was what I was hearing.
And that's really what we all want. We do want justice. But even God says in the Old Testament, we want mercy is the greatest, right? And those two things are not opposed to each other. I want to make sure that that's really clear, is that we need truth, we need justice, and we need grace. And if we trust it long enough, it will lead us to where we need to be. But it's hard work.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. And Shelley, anyway, we greatly appreciate your support, but most importantly, we cheer you on and want to encourage and help you on in your recovery process as well, and to make sure that you're cared for well. And part of that is that you had mentioned you have the books. We're going to send you the Life Recovery Workbook. And I also want you to, as you haven't yet encountered one of the workshops that we have, I would highly encourage you to check out Restore. Restore Workshop is going to be in person in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th. It's going to actually be our first in person since the pandemic. And so want to encourage you to check that out. And thank you so much for calling in today. It was great talking with you. We are going to go now to Jan in Providence, Rhode Island, listening on WEZE. Jan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I called because I heard you mentioned this book called The Life Recovery Grief Booklet.
Yes.
And my husband died in June of 2020, and I have not been able to move on, and not I'm having just a very difficult time. I wear his jewelry around my neck, his wedding ring, and I have his jacket right where he left it last, and I have his all of his things, even papers that he wrote on that I should probably just throw away, of insignificant things, but I just can't seem to let go of one single thing. And I know I need help.
Yeah.
I don't know how to find that help.
Jan, how long were you guys married?
Well, almost 35 years. He died.
That's amazing.
35th.
And was it a sudden death? Had you expected him to die soon? Was he sick?
No, not at all. He had been having some trouble, and he had been seeing a doctor for a year about an issue that seemed insignificant, and the doctor said, you know, you're fine, and we finally found out just a couple of months before he died that he was going to have some radical surgery to save his life, and then they discovered the cancer was so aggressive that he had only a month to live at that point.
I'm so sorry.
And it was a month of very much agony for him.
And for you, I would think, too.
Yes, I took care of him. I would not allow anyone to take him, I mean, you know, with COVID, to go to a hospital wouldn't be my being separated. Anyway, so
Jan,
we never
got
a chance to really say goodbye or talk or
you asked about the Life Recovery Grief Workbook, and we will send you a copy of that. And you also asked about what can you do. You can't seem to make that step to get help. All of the other things that you describe, like leaving his paper or his jacket where it is, all of that is okay for right now. What you need right now is you need to have some comfort, someone who can help you process all of this loss, because the way that he died was very traumatic, and just the normal grief process takes whatever time it takes. And so I want you to hear that, not in a place of, I've got to fix this right now, because it's not what is going to happen. You guys have been married a long time, and there are a lot of memories. And grief is something that we carry with us. We can have better days, but it's not a really quick fix. And so I know with the pandemic and even with some restrictions now, it could be a challenge. But I know that we do have online therapy that's available. We have online groups. And I would just encourage you to take that one step, if you can, just to be able to talk with somebody and work through the grieving process. It's so very important.
Well, I don't have the ability to do an online thing, so...
So maybe it'll be phone. It can be phone.
Problems.
But it can be phone.
It can be phone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jan, when you said, when I cared for my husband, I wouldn't let anyone, and there was more to that thought, but I would guess that you are pretty self-sufficient, and you and your husband together alone were probably able to tackle a lot in life. And so I think that it is unnatural for you to now let other people. But that is exactly what your grief needs. When we allow other people to see the tears fall from our eyes and to hear the stories and to hear why that piece of paper is significant still because it has his writing on it, that is what allows us to release some of the grief, to move through the grief as we receive the love and comfort from other people. So it's time to let other people in it with you.
Well, the problem is that, you know, it wasn't just the cancer and his death. We had I heard you mention trauma. You know, we had some drama in the last couple of years that...
Jen, I'm so sorry to jump in because we're coming up against a break here.
Okay.
But that addition of trauma is even more the reason let us get you the help.
So the only problem is willingness. So we want you to be willing to follow some guidance and get in support and group, get into some counseling, and we'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're talking with Jan from Providence, Rhode Island. Jan, you had such a significant marriage, 35 years. That's a long time. And such a tragic ending in losing your husband to cancer, losing him in the middle of the pandemic. And we're saying at the break that life was or normal rhythms of life were disruptive. And also our normal rhythms of death were disrupted as well,
yes,
if we can say it like that. Because those being able to say goodbyes, being able to be with a person in their last moments is all really significant. And then you said one more thing, and that there was a lot of drama that may even have been traumatic around what was going on in your guys' lives. All of that it leads up to this word complex. There's just a complex grief that's going on. So as Becky was saying, it makes sense that you're having a really, really hard time moving on with life because you're really sitting deeply with the loss.
Yes, and I have to, I'm reviewing in my mind all of the discussions that we had in the last couple of years, the last 2 years before this diagnosis, and how our marriage was in trouble because of a number of things. He didn't think, he questioned my love for him because of a past relationship that I had, and he could not accept. He would ask me questions, and I should have lied. Sometimes I thought I should have just lied, but I answered his questions, and he just kept coming at me and coming at me for more, and it just tore us apart. It hurt him deeply.
Yeah.
And
so now going back to the word that Chris said. So then you've got complex grief, because not only the loss of him as a person, but you're thinking back at this time, this struggle that you had that was unresolved, and then the illness came in. So the word that Chris said before the break was willingness. And so what I don't want for you to do, Jan, is to get stuck in the past of, I wish we could have done this, because that's, grief will do that to you. Mm-hmm. It will help, it will
cause... Can't make up. I can't understand why the Lord didn't give us more time,
right,
so I couldn't make up for what he was feeling.
Right, and so
and
your process. That's right, so Jan, and I'm so sorry. And so what I want you to be able to do is say, okay, I don't want to have any more regrets. I don't want to live in the regret from what I couldn't do, and I wish I would have had more time. So I'm going to make a step today, and I'm going to connect with somebody. And it could be a counselor on the phone. It could be somebody that you know that's a friend. And we're going to send you the 12-step book on grief, and you can begin to work through that. But just make that decision, Jan, that grief is affecting you, and you want to do something to address it so that it doesn't go unresolved and get worse.
Yeah.
It's miraculous.
Well, I can't confide. I cannot confide in people that I know.
Well, you don't have to. That's where a counselor comes in.
Yeah, and you just confided in us, so you can. You just...
There you go.
You just did it to here, and so you can do this, Jan. You can do it. I understand the fear. I understand the pain and the resistance, but you got this.
And Jen, it's miraculous how much healing can take place in present time for past regret and pain.
Yes.
So that when we get those conversations out of just the inside of our mind going over and over it, and we bring it into the light of relationship, God does retroactive healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through the storytelling, and it's through seeking forgiveness now for what you regret that you did back then.
I just can't live with that. I don't know how to live with that.
So, that's right.
That's right. So, Jan, we're also going to send you, in addition to the grief recovery workbook, is we're going to send you a copy of Forgiving the Unforgivable. Now, the key here is that you're not looking at forgiving other people, although that may be part of the process. The person that you need to work on forgiving, and this is where work that you can do really deeply with a counselor, is forgiving yourself and receiving God's forgiveness for the pain that you caused. And that will be very, very significant and eventually very freeing work for you. So, Jan, thank you so much for calling in. You represent a lot of us out there who have experienced grief. And in the grief that we've experienced, that we're holding on to a lot of regret. And friends, we're carrying around way too much stuff right now. We're carrying around stuff that creates anxiety and depression or exacerbates it, that makes us vulnerable to addictions, that puts strain on our relationship. And we need ways to offload it. We need help through those issues that we're carrying. If you sign up for Club New Life, you will get a library. I mean, a library of books and a library of videos that will help you offload the things that God never intended for you to carry. And you will be able to be guided in very specific ways through that process. So again, sign up for Club New Life today, support us, and any gift in the month of April that you give us, you will have a copy in return of Creatures of Habit by Steve Poe, which helps transform our bad or destructive unhealthy habits into good, healthy, and life-giving habits. And with that, we'll be back with you right after this break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. And we went to the break talking about Club New Life. Speaking of Club New Life, we're going to go to Club New Life member Heather, listening in Washington, D.C. on WAVA, W-A-V-A. Heather, how are you doing?
Hi there. How are you guys?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I just want to thank you guys. I have been listening for a really long time, just little time here and there when my kids were little, and I remember thinking, how do people call in? How do they ask questions? How do they know what question to ask? I wasn't there yet, and just I've learned so much from you guys, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, your question about what is something that you can let go of, and I was in the car, and what popped in my mind is my relationship with my parents, probably more so my mom. And as a Christian woman, you know, and honoring your parents, how do I walk through not good relationships with them and not, you know, not a good background? I accepted Christ when I was 11, not a Christian family. So I think I overfunctioned. There was a lot of, I'm definitely a vacillator from How You Left book. And I think I overfunctioned, and I finally realized probably like a year ago, I used to call every week, and I realized that I didn't want to find out that they weren't going to call. Actually, I stopped calling a lot before that, but I would, in college, I would call every Sunday, and, you know, I would call.
So you would reach out to your parents?
Yeah, they never reach out to me.
Okay, pause. Heather, hold on. Pause it just for a second, if you would. Take a deep breath.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I want you to pay attention to your body between your chin and your belly button, as if there's a center line there. Okay?
Okay.
What is it like to not get or receive a phone call from your parents?
It's awful.
Yeah.
Unloved. I mean, and it was, there, you know, there was a lot of words that were said that were not good growing up, because, you know,
yeah,
as a child, like, I wish you'd run away and never come back, kind of thing. So,
wow. So your parents were severely love deprived and love depraved.
Yes, and they were. Yeah, they're wonderful but hurt people, and they couldn't love their kids.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a lot of grace. That's a lot of grace for them, Heather. You know, and I just wonder, so my question, though, is in the trying to manage this relationship, as far as geographical distance or interaction, what does that look like for you guys? Are you in the same town? Is this long distance?
No. Yeah, I'm 3 hours away. You know, I don't see them that often. And through the years, I would just back off more and more, you know. Mm-hmm. But what it is, and I've prayed about it, you know, like, Lord, you know, search me and know my ways. Am I supposed to do more to honor them?
So, let me tell you this. Something that Dave Stoop used to say all the time is that edict from the Lord to honor your father and mother is more about your life than about theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, that you are honoring them because of the woman that you've become and because of the way that you live your life. And that says more about them in their frailty, that you were able to grow up and be the woman that you are. And that's pretty amazing, Heather. I think that there's grieving that goes on when these relationships that have been so hurtful and so painful go unresolved. And I think that's the bigger issue. I also think when you use the word, this is kind of skipping back to the word vacillator, one thing that you want to remember is that you don't have to stay there, that is a description of an attachment style, and you want to work through whatever those things are so that you can become more secure in your attachment.
Heather, can you say my parents were cruel and abusive?
You know what? I could not say that until about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I just was able to say abuse. And no, I could not say it.
Can you say it right? Can you say it right now? My parents were cruel and abusive. Mm-hmm. Maybe they still are.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you know, it's hard to say that. I think I've trained, you know, as a kid, walking through my faith by myself, I thought I'm always to love and honor my parents. So, yeah, my parents were cruel and abusive and unloving. Mm-hmm. And I know that they didn't know better, but and I did pull
Heather,
on. I heard Steve say
I'm going to interrupt you. You have survived your parents' cruelty by looking for the best and by being your best and by whitewashing their cruelty. And you had to do that as a kid to get through because you couldn't get away from it. but you still do it today to some extent, even though you've gotten better. But it keeps you at a distance from being able to access the pain that is still within you, grieve the loss of your parents' cruelty and their lack of enough repentance yet. And it's through the sorrow and noticing the pain and feeling it with other safe people that the pain starts to diminish and you can come to the healthy detachment and the acceptance of your parents as they are, even though you don't approve of it and you don't like it and you never have to like it.
So Heather, letting go of that relationship, you know, is part of the grief process, as we were talking about earlier, and that is the parents that you needed, you didn't get.
Right.
And that's the grief.
Right.
That's the grief. It's coming to the realization of what Alice was saying is like, I have to accept them for who they are. Not who I want them to be or who I needed them to be. But in doing that acceptance, do not equate that with closeness. By accepting mm-hmm. who they mm-hmm. are, I can now learn to let go and set boundaries around people who are dangerous and destructive, who are hurtful, to protect my heart so that I can, again, show up better to the people around me. Because their pain toxifies me, and so I'm learning to separate from their pain.
You'll have to do something that will feel like dishonoring your parents to come to this healthy place that Chris is describing, and it will be by telling the ugliest stories of the ways that your parents treated you and doing it in private conversations with safe people. But it's by looking that ugly reality you lived in the face that will then allow the healthy detachment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Okay. It's so powerful. And then, you know, Heather, your first question was, how do I deal with them? When you work through this and as you continue to work through, because whenever we have childhood wounds like this, it can take a long, 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 long time. And there's going to be stuff that's going to come back up. But when you reach out to them, it'll be because you just want to do that. And there will be no expectation mm-hmm. of what they're going to be like coming back at you. And you're going to be able to hang that phone up and go, okay, well, I called them and I'm going to go on to the rest of my day. I mean, literally, it'll be that healthy of a detachment. And I know right now it doesn't feel like that would be a healthy thing, but I think the less space that they can take up in your present will be a great indicator of the work that you're able to do in your healing process.
Yeah. So, Heather, we're going to...
And I have...
Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say...
I have been doing that gradually and... Yeah. Stepping back, but I think we went through some tragedies the last few months with my kids, and you know, I didn't have the margin to call them, and it was impactful to me because you know, went 3 or 4 months and they didn't check on us. So I think and then the whole thing is then because they're in their 80s, but yeah, I'm just thinking of like, okay, I can give in.
Yeah, and you've already lost them as the ability to be mom and dad. Okay. Does that make sense? So
yeah, you have to reframe who they are.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So
they're people, right?
Yeah, they're people. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're going to send you a copy of the Emotional Freedom Workbook and allow you to kind of work through that as you're working through these complexities with your parents and what they mean and what they don't mean for you. Heather, also... We have not solidified the dates yet, but we are looking at another day this year, another dates this year to do the Emotional Freedom Workshop. We had great, fantastic results a couple weeks ago, and we know that a lot of people are discovering new levels of emotional and relational health through that workshop as well as the workbook. And so be on the lookout for that. Also, Life Recovery Today with Steve Arterburn. You can watch on liferecoverytoday.net. Again, we're all in recovery. We all need guidance through whatever we're recovering from today. And with that, we will be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. And Becky.
Yes, I have all kinds of things I want to talk about.
Talk to us about the things. Give us the things.
Well, first I want to talk about the fact that we, you know, for years, I've always said that I'm New Life's biggest fan, and now I get to be here, and it's such a privilege. But one of the greatest teachers that we have is Steve Arterburn himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have learned so much from Steve over the years, and he has created an ongoing program called Going Deeper, and it's on the YouTube channel. You can go to New Life Ministries YouTube channel. And you'll see not only this show, but you'll also see Going Deeper. You'll see Life Recovery Today. There's all kinds of great resources, but we have created a podcast from that show. And so for those of you who listen to us on the podcast, you can find that as well wherever you hear your podcasts. And the topics, like right now he's in the middle of a series on toxic faith. It may not be in the podcast yet because, you know, we produce differently, but I know he also did the 12 steps of grief in the recovery process. And so, you know, they're short, they're like 10 to 15, maybe 20 at the most minutes long, and which I love about podcasts. Sometimes I don't like them too long. And gosh, there's so much great information that Steve shares and shares from his heart and shares with his passion. So I want you guys to tune in there. The other thing I want to talk about is we do not exist without your help. And so, you know, one of the things that we were talking about today in devotions was the miracle of the fish. And you know how when God sees Peter and they're fishing and they can't catch anything, and he says, put the nets on the other side of the boat. And they're like rolling their eyes going, you know, well, what's that going to do? And then they pull back this, you know, whole big, where the nets were even breaking. And so I want to ask for those of you who have not been giving, maybe you are fishing on the other side of the boat, would you please give today? Would you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or if you go on newlife.com and just give to support what we do? We are helping people find hope and help in their life. And so many of the folks that we are ministering to don't have counselors, don't have people that they can go to. And this may be the only resource for them. And so we can't do it without your help. We appreciate all of our Club New Lifers that Chris was talking about earlier today, but maybe you have not given a dollar. And I want to encourage you, call today. Don't just give a dollar. Maybe give 30 a month, and then you'd be part of Club New Life. See how easy that works? You are going to be blessed, and that's not prosperity gospel. That's just appreciation.
and that's
all I have to say.
And that's just the natural order. What we invest in, where we tend our soil, is the fruit that we produce. And so we see that all over Scripture, and we see that in nature as well. Mm-hmm. And so we work really hard at producing good fruit here that is really helpful and life-giving to people. So thank you so much for that, Becky. And I think we have Charles back on. So I'd love to get to Charles if we can. Charles, are you there?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent. All the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on KFCO. So
KCF, yeah.
Yeah, so let me in on your life, my Okie.
Well, I don't think you've got enough time for all that. But the reason I called in, I've been going through I don't know if you call it a tragedy or what, but my wife went into a deep depression and into a mental situation about a year and a half ago. And I got to a book from Stephen Audubon and Becky Brown about the understanding and loving a person with bipolar and schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And I've tried to go through that, but I don't know. You probably know the circumstances better than I do. But she's up and down, and she's been in the mental hospital four times in the last year.
Wow.
They give her medication and then send her home, and then she goes right back into the same cycle. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Dr. Amon's clinic in Atlanta. Wanted to do something there, but my finances don't allow that. But my question to you is this. I think, you know, it's weighing on me.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm kind of losing it, mm-hmm. in a sense, and I'm trying to get my life back as mm-hmm. much as I can.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. I love her dearly, but I just can't keep, you know, going in this vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charles, is she opposed to the help?
Pardon me?
Is she opposed? Does she reject the help that you try to get her?
Oh, yes. She won't admit she's got a problem. She's a beautiful lady. She's got a memory. I mean, she always told me, you know, she's got the IQ of 136. And of course, she's told me also that anything that I know, she's taught me. So, you know, it's like she talks to these people that are not here, okay?
Yeah.
And she thinks people are in the attic of the house and things like that. And she talked to a psychiatrist that she was working with out of giving her the monthly shot and taking the daily pill.
Yeah, so she's really resistant to...
Yeah. To me, she won't cooperate with me.
Charles, you realize that the help she needs is more than you're able to give her. The help she needs is more than you are able to give her on your own. And so there are probably a few steps that you'll need to take. You may need to talk to her doctors without her being present, even if it's just a phone call, because they can receive information from you about what you see that she's probably not admitting to them. At a higher level, if necessary, you might also need the help of a social worker through something like Adult Protective Services, because your wife isn't willing to get the help that she needs and she's deteriorating. So first talk with her doctors, and then if you need to, you can call Adult Protective Services.
Oh, I've been involved with them, yeah. And see, the problem is she won't give permission for me to be involved in her treatments at all.
You don't need permission to call her doctors and offer them information. They can't necessarily give you back information and disclose to you, but you can make that call anyhow.
Yeah.
Charles,
well, I've talked to the county.
What I want to say to you is you may need your own help. Like, this sounds like it was a sudden onslaught. Is that, am I hearing that correctly? Like, up until a couple years ago, things were just fine?
Yeah, it was fine. I was retired, and I was home more, and then this pandemic thing came along. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I think triggered her, she had a bad fall, and she had a hematoma.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And that enclosed, Well, that's that can happen. And I think it's underreported when we're talking about schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. There is scientific studies that talk about closed head trauma that can create a bipolar experience. And so you're asking the right questions. I think this is more of a medical issue that's not being treated. And because she may be able to talk her way out of, which is very common with so many folks that need medication, mm-hmm. You are stuck with trying to deal with this. And I think, Charles, it'll be really important for you to have some support and some help as you go through these next steps.
And, Charles, we're coming up to the end of the show. I just want to mention one other resource. It's called NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness. And they have groups, support groups, for people like yourself. Please get into support. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. Everyone out there, thank you for listening and being with us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.